tuned in to the financial motivator himself, Ash Cash, Mr. Mind Right Money Right.
Happy Wednesday, the day that we all win. Welcome to another awesome episode of the Ash Cash Show. Today we're talking about the roller coaster stock market, Georgia election catastrophe, Apple letting users turn in their Mac computers for credit. Neo gets dragged on Twitter for calling George Floyd's death a sacrifice. Adidas and other companies have to put their money where their post is. And we talk about reparations. Is it a good plan or nah? The Ash Cash Show, let's go.
I ain't talking about red. I'm talking about wet.
Money ain't a thing. Money ain't a thing.
Money in the bank. Money in the bank.
We can talk, but money talk. So talk
money. The Ash Cash Show. Ash Cash Show. The Ash Cash Show. Ash Cash Show. The Ash Cash Show. Ash Cash Show. The Ash Cash Show. 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 Ash Cash Show. Ash Cash Show. The Ash Cash Show. Ash Cash Show.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to another awesome episode of the Ash Cash Show every Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. If you go to theashcashshow.com and go to subscribe to the podcast, support the show. Also go to ashcashtv.com to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are here for you every day, every Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening to this live, you're watching on YouTube, you're watching on Facebook, on Twitter, on Twitch, on Periscope, we appreciate you. If you're watching live on Instagram, salute to my Mind Right moguls who keep it hopping, who keep it jumping every single day. So I appreciate y'all. And so today we're gonna start with the news, and then as always we'll start with the news, and then we'll go to the Ask Ash Cash segment of the show, where I answer all of your business, finance, life questions. And so you can put your comments, right? So if you're watching on Instagram, you can put your comments right in the comment box. If you're watching on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, make sure you put your comments in the comment box, and I'll do my best to answer most of the questions. Grace the DJ, what's goody? All right, so let's start with the financial markets. And so with the stock market, if y'all been paying attention to the stock market has been going crazy. So NASDAQ is up as of end of business yesterday, or end of close of business yesterday. NASDAQ was up 0.29%. S&P 500 was down 0.78%. Dow Jones was down 1.09%. Gold is up 0.89%. We have 10-year Treasury is down 5.30 basis points, or BIPs, BPSs. And then oil is up 0.65%. And so as we look at the markets yesterday, if we paid attention to it, the NASDAQ actually briefly rose above 10,000 for the first time ever. That's because a lot of companies were doing some phenomenal numbers. So you're talking about Amazon, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft. They all hit all-time highs, and so things are looking up for those companies. And then today, the Fed Chair Jerome Powell, he'll have a news conference today, talking about his thoughts on the economy. So I know that investors are looking very, very, very closely to that. I think that when we look at the what's happening in the stock market, there are some unprecedented things that are happening. I talked about this yesterday, but some of it is like a lot of bankrupt companies. So like Hertz, JCPenney's, a lot of people are putting money in these bankrupt companies, and then these companies are skyrocketing, which is you know, a good thing, but could also be a bad thing, because what it's looking like is that normally when, you know, I guess they, like money managers, people who like really watch the stock markets, when they, you know, control the markets, it usually doesn't take a big dip. What experts are saying is that because these are just like everyday retail people who are driving up the prices, that there could be a 15% dip in the markets if you're not careful. So just be careful if you are putting your money in the market. Be careful, because at the end of the day, you know, that is, you know, that may, you know, you may take a hit, you know, once the market sort of corrects itself. According to, you know, CNBC, shares of the company Vroom more than doubled as they were displayed to the public. So shares of Vroom, which is an online used car seller, skyrocketed in its first day of trading on Tuesday as the NASDAQ fought to stay in the green. So the company, which filed to go public last month, saw its stock close more than 117% higher. Vroom priced its initial public offering at $22 per share, which came in above its price range at $18 to $20 per share. So Vroom's market debut comes alongside a handful of other companies that went public this month after COVID-19 essentially brought, you know, IPOs to a virtual halt. So shares of Zoom Info soared more than 60% in its Thursday's debut. Warner Music, we talked about that last week, also returned to the public markets Wednesday and saw a stock roughly 20% that day. Vroom surge comes as the broader markets work to pare back Tuesday's earlier losses. The NASDAQ composite was up 0.26% in the afternoon trading after trading lower to start the session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 0.83%. The S&P 500 also dropped 0.74%. In other news, you know, George Floyd was put to rest yesterday in Houston, and you know his you know his funeral was highly attended. A lot of people paid tribute to George Floyd. A lot of sort of, you know, some controversy happened. I found this interesting that Neo was dragged on Twitter for calling George Floyd's death a sacrifice during his funeral. So the third and final memorial for George Floyd, the 46-year-old black man that was killed at the hands of Minnesota police on May 25th, was held at the Fountain of Praise Church in Houston on Tuesday, June 9th. Neo, who attended the service and performed the song, is now facing criticism after referring to Floyd as a sacrifice. 50 states are protesting at the same time. This man changed the world, he said. I just want to thank George Floyd for the sacrifice so my kids can be all right. I appreciate the sacrifice. I really, really do. So I don't know your thoughts on that, but definitely a great service, great, you know, definitely a great way to honor George Floyd, you know, and you know, his death should not have happened, which is why there's so much unrest, which is why there is so much call to action. And again, as you guys know, I speak every day about, the, you know, one of those is not the only one, but the one of the call to actions have to be economic. I mean, I think the main one should be economic. I think the economics of the call to actions lead into everything else. But again, at the end of the day, you know, it has to be economics. You know, so I'll to stay on economics, I'll talk, you know, I seen something that was interesting as it relates to Apple. So Apple is going to let its customers turn in their old Mac devices, its retail outlets in the U.S. and Canada, in exchange for credit for a new device or balance on an Apple gift card starting this month. Bloomberg reported on Tuesday. The consumer electronics company told its retail employees that the program will come into effect June 15 in the United States and June 18th in Canada, according to Bloomberg. Georgia. Let's talk about the great state of Georgia. You know, Georgia had its elections yesterday. It was other elections that happened yesterday. But to say that the elections in Georgia were catastrophic is an understatement, right? There were hour long waits. There were problems with voting machines, and there weren't a lot of available ballots. And so honestly, from reports and then from our own experience as well, that it's really voters in majority minority counties really had these issues. So it wasn't any other it was counties that had a majority of minorities that were having these problems. Conditions the Secretary of State called unacceptable and vowed to investigate. Democrats and election watchers said voting issues in a state that have been plagued for years by similar problems, along with allegations of racial bias, didn't bode well for the November presidential election when Georgia could be in play. Some people reported waiting more than 4 hours to cast their ballots. Lengthy waits were reported in other parts of Fulton, DeKalb, and Gwinnett County. So I live in DeKalb County, and it was a nightmare, to say the least. And I think what happened was people were saying that there were new ballot boxes or new boxes, but nobody really knew how to use them. And so that's really, really gonna be important because, again, when you get to the elections in November, if we have the same issues and there's problems and whatever the case may be, that could really go towards voter fraud, especially in states like Georgia that have had problems in the past, specifically as it relates to people of color, to minorities. So I think that that's really, really important to pay attention to. And so in other news, and then I'll open it up for questions soon. But in other news, I think that people are now holding companies more accountable, as it relates to what they're talking about as far as racial injustice, right? One of the good things I think that's happening in this country right now is that we have a different energy, a different movement that's happening, right? And so when I say that, I mean that, a lot of like myself, I'm a millennial, but I'm an older millennial, right? So I'm an OG millennial, as I like to call myself. And so a lot of the country is being moved by young people, right? Which means that you have a lot of the younger millennials and you have a lot of Gen Z who are in the workforce, who are the consumers, and they're not having it, right? Like they're being really vocal about what they're going to stand for and what they're not going to stand for. And at the same time, just posting a meme, just doing a commercial for your company and saying that your company is for racial injustice is not enough, and they want to see stuff done. I found this an interesting story. Adidas says that at least 30% of new U.S. positions will be filled by Black and Latinx people. A new hire initiative at Adidas is aiming to increase the representation of people of color in its North American workforce. The company plans to fill and maintain a minimum of 30% of new positions with Black and Latinx people, Adidas announced Tuesday. Along with several other activities, it is taking in response to recent protests over the death of George Floyd and calls for racial justice. Dozens of large corporations, right, including Adidas, made statements last week expressing solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. At the same time, companies have faced calls to address unequal representation and systematic racism within their own ranks. In recent days, hundreds of Adidas employees have walked out of work to demonstrate outside of the company's North America headquarters in Portland, Oregon, asking Adidas to better support black employees. According to a report from the Portland Business Journal, Adidas, like other sports wear companies, have profited off of sponsorship deals with black athletes and celebrities and by using black culture as inspiration for designs and schemes. And so I love that because at the end of the day, you know, I feel like, you know, this is, what the call to action is, right? Because, at what it's good, right? It's dope, right? Like, you know, it's dope to get support. But what's really support when, you know, a culture that is the culture that is driving, a culture that is driving your sales don't have representation from the top. And that's everything though, right? When you think about music, when you think about fashion, when you think about the hair industry, when you think about all these industries that, you know, number one, we're driving up that, you know, that market. When you think about that, but then we don't have full representation, then, you know, that I think that's one of those things that we look and say, oh my God, you know, how can we continue to support these places where, you know, or allow them to appropriate our culture, but we're not representative of, you know, of the culture, or the board or the executive ranks. And so I think that's important to start to pay attention to. And that's why, again, you know, I'm excited that when we look at what's happening in this country, you know, the energy of the young people is like exhilarating, right? Like to look at all the young people who are just saying, no, you know, we're not going to accept this, right? When you think about younger millennials, like I said, I'm a millennial, OG millennial. And when you think about, you know, younger you know, millennials, like they grew up, you know, I mean, they were born maybe during, you know, 9/11, they went through the Great Recession, right? When you think about, all of these, Gen Z people who are, you know, are growing up learning about, you know, wealth disparities and, how the dollar is going to affect everything. I think it's a great thing, but what I also want to make sure that happens, is that, you know, while we appreciate the young energy of the millennials and Gen Zers, that us OGs, right? So like myself as an OG millennial, you know, as all of the other you know, people who are, you know, the Gen Xers, the Boomers, like all the people who have the wisdom, it's important that we sit down with the young people and guide them, meaning that we give them, you know, not guide them in a way and tell them what to do because their energy is appreciated, but also it's important that we are passing down that wisdom, because I think that's where, I know for my generation, you know, that's where the disconnect happened, right? Where, you know, they became the separation between old and young. And so, you know, for my generation, meaning, you know, I'm still a millennial, but the older millennials, we had to figure out a lot of the stuff for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to literally figure it out for ourselves because there was such a disconnect between the old, you know, the older people, the OGs, the older people who had the wisdom, and the young people. And then, you know, we weren't able to we couldn't talk to them, right? They looked down on us. They was telling us what we couldn't do and how crazy our generation was. And so we can't make that same mistake. And so I'm talking to all of my OG millennials. I'm talking to all my Generation Xers, but even some boomers, right? I'm talking to all of y'all. Make sure that we're supporting the energy, right? That we're supporting the energy of the young people, that we're not doing what happened to us. Like, I promise you, like, I remember, you know, coming up, you know, being misguided, and the OGs and the people who had the wisdom, you know, there was this divide. There was this generational divide. And so I know for me, like, I refuse to let that happen, right? So, like, for on my end, you know, I'm making sure that I'm having conversations with young people. I'm reaching back to the young people. I finally accepted my role as an OG, you know, because if y'all notice, that's why I'm letting my beard grow, you know what I'm saying? Because in the past, I kept, you know, I kept shaving my head and keeping the fresh face, you know what I'm saying, so I could still look 20. But now I'm fully embracing my OG status, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm definitely embracing my OG millennial status. So I'm good. You know, I'm open to mentorship, leading and pouring as much wisdom. That's why, you know, I got courses. That's why I'm writing hella books. Because at the end of the day, all of this information that I learned, I want to be able to pass it down to the next generation in a way, you know what I'm saying, that the next generation could accept it. Yeah, y'all swear. After I turned 25, I stopped counting. So every time people kept asking me my age, I would just do an anniversary of my 25th birthday. So when I turned 35, I was like, yeah, it's my 10th year anniversary of being 25. Like I wasn't holding, you know what I mean? I kept holding on to this youth. You know what I'm saying? I kept trying to just be young. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a fact. Like, and I'm blessed though too. You know what I'm saying? I'm blessed to be in a position to have, you know, to almost, you know, I'm not 40 yet, but I'm, you know what I mean, I'm knocking on 40's door. So to be almost 40, and to be in a position where I kind of feel like, you know what I'm saying, I'm so far ahead of my time, I'm about to start another life. Like I've been through a lot. I've seen a lot. And so now I'm at a space where I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? It's time to start, it's time to start pouring in. So that is my message. My message to everybody out there, to the OGs out there, to the people. I don't like that uncle though. No, I'm not nobody's uncle. Big bro only. As Dacia said, not Uncle Ash quite yet. Yeah, I'm good on uncle though. So we not doing Uncle Ash. Like I'm always, so always big bro. I'm always gonna be the big bro. I don't know why. It's just like you know why? Because at the end of the day, I mean, in my hood, when you right? My guy Art said, chill on the uncle. Yo, at the end of the day, when you was calling people unk, you know what I'm saying, in the hood, that wasn't a compliment. Like you'd be like, yo, who uncle is this? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like the uncle was the dude who was like super duper corny. You know what I'm saying? Like he was super duper corny, but he thought he was cool. He still tried to, you know, still tried to dress like, nah, I'm nobody's uncle. Do not call me uncle. Uncle is not a term of endearment. Big bro only. Yeah, forever. Like I'll just be the big bro. You know what I'm saying? Like you respected your big brother. You know what I'm saying? You respected your big bro. You like, yeah, that's, you know what I'm saying? Yo, that's big bro right there. So yeah, I'm not nobody's unk. No, you call me unk, we good on that. You know what I'm saying? So salute to y'all. All right, so I'm gonna open it up for any questions that y'all may have.
Welcome to Ask Ash Cash. You have questions, he has an answer. Ask Ash Cash.
How can I get out of debt?
Is this a good time to buy a house?
What's a good credit score?
What's a 401k?
Yo, who's Dow Jones?
Bass Moreno says, Uncle is cool now. Uncle Snoop, Uncle Shannon. Nah, I'm good. I don't know. Like, I don't know. But see, I'll be honest, because the reason why... All right, so I give y'all this. So if y'all don't know, from a gang perspective, the reason why Snoop calls himself Uncle is because, like, in the gang world in Crip, you know, they call each other cousin. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, what's up, cuz? And so when you get older, you become an older person, you become uncle. So that's why Uncle Snoop has always been Uncle Snoop. And so I've never, you know what I mean, like that from that perspective, and I'm not, you know, disrespecting that gang culture, but from that perspective, that's why, you know, I mean, he's been calling himself Uncle Snoop for a long time, but that's why they do that, because of that gang culture. But I'm just talking about, in, you know, period in the hood, when you had the drunk, I mean, it's like the drunk uncle in your family, you know what I'm saying? It's like the drunk uncle in your family. You know, he lame, still the same, but you love him the same, right? So it's like, in the hood, when somebody, it's actually still a joke. Like, if somebody come in trying to look cool, they be like, yo, who uncle is this? You know what I'm saying? So, all right, cool. Uncle Red, DJ Red Alert. But Red Alert is from a different generation. Like, I was a kid when Red Alert was, I mean, even a different generation, but we'll jump off that. All right, cool. So Big Bro only. OG Millennial in the building, Big Bro. Let's see. So Cloud 3 Vision says, do you think the stock market will crash again? I don't believe it's going to crash. I think that signs that the economy is rebounding, that the economy is going in the right direction, doesn't indicate to me that the stock market is going to crash. I think that it may take a dip, though. You know, I do think that a lot of people who are not money managers or sophisticated investors, like, there are a lot of people who are jumping into investing that don't really understand how the markets work. And because they don't understand how the markets work, a lot of them are jumping in and driving the prices up of certain stocks and things of that nature, not really fully understanding the magnitude of where that company is going. So again, I talked earlier about Hertz, about JCPenney's, right? These companies that have literally filed for bankruptcy, right? So they filed for bankruptcy, but people are still buying these companies and driving the prices up. And so the great thing about it is that if these companies are able to bounce back based on them filing for bankruptcy and their stock prices going up, if they're able to bounce back, then that is actually a great a great thing that will happen, you know, for the stock market, right? If that happens, right, or the people who invested in those stocks, but if it doesn't bounce back, and all those people that are driving those stock prices up, it takes a dive or it takes a hit, then you are literally in jeopardy of, you know, tanking the market. Not, you know, I don't know if it will crash, but I do think that it will, you know, it can take a hit depending on what happens with these companies that the people who aren't sophisticated investors are investing in. So great question, Cloud3 Vision. We got the Mommy Blog. The Mommy Blog says, when paying off debt, would you recommend paying off high interest first or lowest balance? I am a big fan of the snowball effect. And the snowball effect says that you pay off the lowest balance first. And then you do that in order, right? The reason why, I'm a big fan of the snowball is because the snowball allows you to gain some wins. As being in this business for over 20 years now, right? So I started in 99. So over 20 years now, being in a financial services business in one way or the other, I believe that, I believe that I've seen a lot of people who have done both ways, right? Who have paid high interest first and then paid low balances. I saw people do both ways. And in my experience, I truly believe that these are or in order to stick to a financial goal, you have to feel like, or any goal, for instance, you have to feel like it's worth it, right? I'll give you my thought process, meaning like this, right? Like if you started a business and you start building this business and you put all your time and energy on this business and you spend a year, 2 years, 3 years building this business, without making any money at all, it might be very hard for you to stick to that 3 years of building this big, gigantic business and then launch it, right? And so that's why it's important that you do a minimal viable product, meaning that before you even spend all that time, you put something out there. You see, you know, let me see if this business makes sense, if this is viable. And so that way you put out you know, a minimal viable product, and then you get the small win, and that small win makes you motivated, then you keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Same way, like when I put out books, right? You know, I put out a launch, I see what the launch does. If it does good, I keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. So I say all that to say is the same like with paying off your debt. Snowballing, which means that you take your lowest balance, you put all of your lowest to highest balance in order, you knock down the lowest one, and then you keep repeating that cycle over and over again, is good and imperative, because by paying off that one card that has the lowest balance, you gain a small win, and that allows you to stick to it the longest. If you went the other way and went high interest rate, and let's say one of your high interest rate cards are one of your big balance cards, it might take you forever to pay that off. And then while you're paying that off, your smaller balance card is now accumulating, interest. And then now it doesn't seem like anything is moving in any direction. And so the Mommy Blog, thanks for that question. I do think that it's best to pay off your lowest balance first, and then, you know, knock them all down and then go from that level. Appreciate the question. All right, let's go to YouTube. Butterbeans Cool says, did you see the video of the New York City Police Union boss Mike O'Mara ranting about how police officers need to be shown respect? Funny how tables turn. Yeah, I did see that, right? I did see that. I do think yes, it is funny that table turns. I will personally say that growing up, I had not one positive interaction with police officers. I think that, police officers do have a respect for certain people. I don't think that they have a certain respect for all people, right? Meaning that a lot of police officers, and I'm not going to say all of them, but I say a lot of police officers, make an assumption of who people are, and even young people who grew up in the hood who may not be doing trouble, they may be approached in that way. And that's why I've always believed in community policing, meaning that a lot of times, where you see people who aren't even from the neighborhood, police in those neighborhoods, I think that's dangerous, because I think that if they don't understand that dynamic of the community, then they're not going to be able to police correctly. And that's why I urge young people, right, if you want to see reform, maybe it might be the right time for young people to start entering into the police force and start asking to patrol your neighborhood that you care about. Not. I don't want you to be no corny dude who got picked on and who hate the hood and then says, yo, I'm gonna go to become a police officer to now abuse the power, right? Because I was picked on in the hood. I'm talking about like the people who care about the hood, who like, you know what, I'm gonna take these matters in my own hand, and I know this person, or I know that person, and I'm gonna take it in my own hand. Because even like, again, I always reference The Wire. I think that's the greatest show ever. Even when you think about season 4 of The Wire, right? If you remember, Sergeant Carver, because he came up in the ranks, he knew these people. You know what I'm saying? So, he was definitely, he's always talking to the drug dealers. He knew the drug dealers. He wasn't like roughing them up. He was, a community police. And I think that's what needs to happen, right? Don't have these white boys from Long Island, policing in Harlem. Because, and no disrespect to white people in Long Island, but I know from my experience that there's a lot, not all, but there's a lot of racist, people who come from Long Island who look at black people a certain way. And so now they get into the force and they think that we're all savages, one, because they don't have experience with black people. And so they believe what they see. They believe the stories that they've been told. Then that becomes a problem. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that, we need our people in law enforcement, right? No system, can change itself only from the outside. Sometimes it got to destroy itself from within. And so sometimes there's all these prong approaches. So yes, there needs to be you know, we need to relook at what monies are going into the police department. But yes, we need, you know, police reform and all, you know, all the stuff that's happening on the outside. But from the inside, what's happening, right? Like, what's happening from the inside? And so I think that that needs to happen 100%. Let's see. Rakeem Bolden. Salute to my big sis, Rhea Keith. What's up, my big OG big sis? Rakeem Bolden says, Ash Cash, this is Sam from the New York City metropolitan area. As an entrepreneur here, I'd love for us to set up a Zoom call to discuss a possible partnership. What's the best way to set that up? Email my team. Email me, info@mindrightmoney.com. info@mindrightmoney.com. And then yeah, we could potentially set things up. So that'll be the best way. info@mindrightmoney.com. Roof Artist Salute says, so true. We need our people in those neighborhoods. No, absolutely. I agree. Let me scroll up real quick because it's let's see. All right, so back to IG. Let's see. All right, so let's go to So Sir Cass, that's what you said, forget your question. I get it, because that's what I was talking about. So what's your take on more retail investors joining the market? So I answered that, but just you know, just a reiteration. It may tip the markets, you know what I mean? So just be careful as you're getting into the market. Let's see. So how do you go about setting up a family trust? Great question. I saw a question earlier in the comments that asked, do I have any books that talk about setting up family trust? I do talk about it briefly in my book, The Wake Up Call. So that's the book I wrote inspired by Jay-Z's 444 album. The Wake Up Call, Financial Lessons Learned from 444. I have a section on there that talks about family trust. I am working on a book, you know, my wife and I are working on a book called Family Wealth Secrets. In Family Wealth Secrets, there is a section that talks about family trust. Just to answer the question, I think that a family trust is best set up by a CPA and a lawyer and an attorney, like an estate attorney. I mean, the reason why I'm saying that it's important to get a professional to help you to do that is because, one, you want to make sure that you know the tax implications of your family trust, number one. But number two, you want to make sure it's set up the right way so that you have the legal protections of that family trust. Because it, you know, what happens with a family trust is that it's supposed to be set up so that it can withhold, right? You could avoid probate and it could withhold the courts. And your wishes as the person who sets up the family trust can live forever and ever with or without you, right? And so what happens is if you set up a family trust and it's not done the right way, and then once you pass away and there's loopholes and there's things that's not protected by law, you could literally have set up that family trust in vain. So this is not one of those things that I would suggest anybody do by themselves. This is not one of those things that I would say, you know, do it the cheap way or the fast route or whatever. I literally would say that you should be looking and, you know, finding an attorney and getting an attorney to sort of help you, you know, help you with that. And so definitely get a CPA to help, get a attorney to help. I mean, Family Wealth Secrets is really going to give you all of the five ways that families fail to build wealth and to build stability within their family. And then also I will give you the five things you need to do to actually change that. And so look out for that. I will be dropping that really soon. But we talk about family trust in that as well. So appreciate that question. All right. Let's see. So Andrew Truth Truthful Taxes says, what's your take on LLC for beginners? I don't know if you're asking, and please clarify, I don't know if you're asking, do you want advice to set up an LLC for beginners, or is there a program called LLCs for beginners? So I want to be able to answer your question correctly. So please, Andrew, if you're still in the building, clarify that for me so I can answer that. I'll go back to YouTube. YouTube says, Butterbeans, cool, 811 says, what are your thoughts on having a living will? Do you think young people should have one? Absolutely. I think that a living will is very, very important because what happens is this, is that, you know, the great thing about, or not, I mean, it's just what it is. I won't say the great thing about life, but the thing about life is that we just don't know. We don't know when our time is going to come. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I'm sure, you know, people in their 20s don't look and say, you know what? You know, I ain't going to make it to my 30s or 30. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody feels like, you know, they're going to live or most people don't really know when they're going to go. And so if you are a young person, I mean, anybody, I think anybody who have breath in their body, and if you have breath in your body, then you have, you know, you have purpose on this earth. I think that you should have a will. You know, I think that there should be something written. It doesn't even have to be elaborate, right? It doesn't have to be something that you pay thousands of dollars to a lawyer to do, right? A living will. I think that is something that you should write, something that should be documented somewhere, something that your loved ones know, so that if it's God's will that there's a early or untimely demise, that people know what to do with your assets, and it could be done in the way that you want to do them. A family trust, if set up the right way, does allow that, right? So if you have, like, you know, a family trust or irrevocable trust, you know, that could, you know, it supersedes a will, right? And so it could allow, you know, things to happen or you know, allow your wishes to be done, you know, after you go. And so, yeah, I think a living will is important. I think that estate planning at any age is important. You know, we need to look at that. Become God, right? Don't create it in your hands and say, you know what? Now I know I'm gonna be here for a long time, so I'll do that later. I'll do that, you know, later. It's important, and it's not like we're calling death to us by setting these things up. You know, life insurance, wills, estate planning, family trust, all these things are very, very important. So appreciate the question. All right, so back to Andrew. Andrew says, "What's your take on LLCs for beginners?" So advice is what he's saying, like, what advice would you give somebody who's starting an LLC? I would say that if you're starting an LLC, make sure you set it up the right way, meaning that understand, number one, I know LLCs are sexy. I know that that's what everybody says, start an LLC, but just make sure that your LLC is, you know, your LLC is, you know, is the right way to go, right? Because LLC is not the only business structure, right? You have a sole proprietorship, you have partnerships, you have LLCs, you have S corp, C corps, right? You know, you might start a business and a partnership might be a better way to go. A sole proprietorship might be better way to go. And so my advice, number one, for a beginner is to not just automatically jump in and say, yes, I need an LLC. Like, that's what I would say. I would say that, like, automatically don't believe that an LLC is the way to go, because there are, you know, costs that go with it, right? Jamal Griffin says, I made that mistake with an LLC and it cost me, right? So, like, you know, you may think that an LLC might be the way to go, but there's, like, costs associated with it. There's things that, you know, it may not suit your what your specific needs are. So I think that the best thing to do, number one, is to really focus on, you know, what is it that your business does? What is the right structure, right? And so, you know, looking at the different structures, you know, maybe, you know, hiring a CPA, maybe reading books about business, just to make sure that you're setting it up the right way. And then, you know, I would say once you find the right structure, you know, make sure you set it up the right way. So as far as the LLC goes, if you're setting up an LLC, you want to make sure that your address is verifiable, your phone number is verifiable. Don't use your cell phone. Don't use your home address. Use an address that is known for business, just so that as you grow your LLC, you're able to take advantage of business credit. And as I stated before, go to mindrightmoney.com. Under business credit, under resources, there's a tab for business credit. That there's a webinar that I did with Credit Suite that really gives you, you know, that talks about how to really set up your, you know, your business the right way. And so that's the advice that I would have. Thank you for the question. My guy Andrew. All right. So let's see. What books do you recommend for learning the difference between LLCs, S corp? I keep saying this, and I'm embarrassed that I keep saying this, and we haven't launched it yet. But my CPA, Mitch Valbrun, he and I, we're working on a program that actually has all of this stuff in it, like tax secrets, tax wealth secrets, and tax secrets and things, business wealth secrets, all that stuff. And so I'm going to, I need to launch that. So yeah, give me a sec. I'll do that. I mean, they have like the for dummies books, I think, are good. I have a lot of the for dummies books. I think a business structure for dummies would be a good one. But just keep it on lookout. I'll start to push the button on those. I'll be honest, you know, doing a daily show just takes up a lot of my time, and so a lot of the content that I would normally you know, be dishing out. I wake up early, and so normally I'll be waking up early, you know, to do some work or whatever. You know, a lot of that time I'm prepping for the show. So that's why I'm behind on content, but that's no excuse. I got to get it done. But that's why I need y'all to support the show. Go to the ashcashshow.com under the support button. Please hit the support button, because understand that, you know what I mean? Like, it's a give and take. As I'm giving to the show every day, I'm taking away from other things. But I will, you know, I will definitely make sure that we are focusing on, you know, I get this thing out. Taryn G from YouTube says, is a P.O. box sufficient for use for your business, a one person showing in your home? No. And so if you have a P.O. box, right, if you have a P.O. box for your home, it is not good, or for your home business, it is not a good way to set up the business, because when it's time to get loans and credit, there's no way to verify that's a physical address. And so I would say that you should use a home, a co-working space, or a virtual business address. And so, like I said, I'm here in Atlanta. You know, I work out of my home, so I have a home office. I don't have a physical office, but I do have a membership to the Gathering Spot, which is a co-working space, right? It's an entrepreneurship membership space, but they offer mail service. And so I pay each month, right? I pay each month to have mail service, so that way all my businesses are registered to the Gathering Spot's address. So that way, you know, if I apply for loans or business credit, I can apply under my business, because it's set up the right way. When I first had my business, yes, I used the P.O. box, but that's not the right way to do it. So make sure, you know, go to mindrightmoney.com. Under resources, hit the box that talks about you know, business credit, and just check that out, because it you know, it's broken down and all that stuff. Let's see. Thanks. Need to buy get business credit. The website is mindrightmoney.com. If somebody could type that in for me, www.mindrightmoney.com. Let's see. What is your thoughts? Okay, so here's Bella Six. Thank you for asking, right? So Bella Six asked, what is your thoughts on a proposal for reparations? And somebody asked that yesterday, so thank you for reminding me, because I almost forgot that question again. And I promised that I would, you know, answer that question. So here's my thoughts, right? And so I love the idea of reparations. Absolutely, I think that reparations is necessary. It's warranted. It's owed, right? It's definitely owed. When you think about other groups that have suffered in other countries, in this country, who have been made whole or attempted to be made whole, I think that the same needs to happen. For African Americans in this country who are descendants of slaves. So I'll be honest, right? You know, someone asked that, right? So there's a proposal that Robert Johnson from founder of BET has asked for $14 trillion for reparations, and he stressed that it should go to descendants of slaves, and there's a whole movement, right, the ADOS movement, right, African descendants of slave ADOS, there's a whole ADOS movement that is saying, that's fighting for reparations, and they talk about, reparations going to the descendants of slaves. I agree with that. I do. I agree with reparations going to the descendants of slaves. So, like, for myself, I am not an African-American descendant of slaves. So I wouldn't fall under the ADOS bucket because my parents are from Haiti, right? The first free republic, mind you. So my parents are from Haiti, and so my mom is from Haiti, my dad is from Haiti. They came over to America in the 60s, I think, or 70s. And so because that, I'm a first generation American, so I was born here on U.S. land, so I am an American citizen. But at the same time, I'm not a descendant of slaves, right? Sak passe, not boule, right? And so, I think that because I'm not a descendant of slaves, then I should not benefit, from reparations that are on the backs of the people who actually built this country, which is the descendants of slaves, right? And so I agree with that part of it. A lot of people feel like it's a divide, and people are like, well, if you're from the Caribbean or whatever, you still have a slave, trade, whatever, right? I agree with that, absolutely, right? Because at the same time, that's why, America is part of, or Haiti is the first free republic, because we wasn't having that, But because there was, partly how we all African, right? And partly how, we got to whatever colony we got to was because of slavery. But as it relates to America, I think that that has to happen to the descendants of slaves. So your lineage should lean back to that. Are the reparations for ADOS part of the black tax? It's funny that you mentioned the black tax. I actually have an interview with Sean Rochester, who wrote the book called The Black Tax, and we'll talk about all of that stuff. And so, we'll see. But I do agree with so just to jump off that, because I don't want to not answer. Right, FM Duddy Bookman, like, fash out the Duddy Bookman, because when you think about Duddy Bookman, who Duddy, right, like Duddy Bookman is actually, I think he has Jamaican lineage as well, but he, he's part, like we all in the same gang, so that's what I'm saying, right? Do your history, right? If you do your Googles and you understand that we all in the same gang, but at the same time, Nadej says, Haitians need reparations from Europe, not the U.S. Exactly, right? And so when you think about Haiti, you think about Europe, you think about France, right? You think about all these, that's where the reparations should come from for Haitian, descendants and things of that nature. So in the U.S., though, because the U.S. has done some stuff to Haiti. So let me not say that the U.S. don't owe Haiti, Clintons. Let me stay away from that. But yeah, so I think that should happen. The fact of the matter, though, as a black American right here in the country, yes, I have suffered, because words have power, so I don't want to say suffered, but I have experienced racism, discrimination, things of that nature, and so because of that, there are things that I expect, right, as a American citizen, and that's why I fight for the rights of blacks in America, But as we talk about reparations, that has to be specific to those folks. So what do I think about the plan? I think it's a good plan, but I do think that the plan has to be, I think it's a start. Let me just say that. I think it's a start. I think that, you know, I watched the interview where Robert Johnson says he wants cash. I don't know what that means, because I think that part of the plan said $350,000 goes to each descendant. You know, there should be $14 trillion in total. Things, you know, there should be things given based on income level and things of that nature. And so, I definitely believe in the plan. I think the plan should not be just handed over, meaning that the reparations shouldn't be handed over. There should be honestly, if you ask me, I think there should be, that money should be used to create a separate nation and with a separate guidelines, rules, similar to like what the Indians have. Land should be given. I think that there should definitely be a land given, because the U.S. government owns millions of acres of land, and so there should be land given to the African descendants of slaves, and then they should be created as a separate separate nation, and have separate protections, and then within that nation, that money should be allocated and used in that way. Because what I fear, understanding, you know, being in the financial, markets, what I fear is that the money is handed over and then that money is given right back to the white establishments anyway, right? Because what happens today is that, you know, a lot of that money, we don't. And there's reasons why. It's not a knock on how we manage money, but a lot of that money is because, or a lot of the reasons why we're in a lot of the situations is because there hasn't been a way that we understand how to manage money. That's why I do what I do, right? To my people, right? Because I want to teach how to change your mindset and manage money differently. And so at the same time, if you just hand over, right, that, you know, a millionaires, you give a million dollars to somebody who doesn't know how to manage it, they're going to lose it. And so it's important that the education comes first. And then from that education, then you kind of go for the next step. So I do think that there should be a separate nation created, just like Indian reservations. And then there should be a body that's managing that money to make, you know, give some land. Each person owns a piece of land, and that money gets done from that perspective. All right, y'all, this is my time. I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much. If I didn't answer your question, tune in tomorrow. Ask the question early. I appreciate y'all. Or email me, info@mindrightmoney.com, and I will answer your questions there. Thank you so much for tuning in every single day, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll see y'all. I thank y'all for rocking with me. Make sure you go to the AshCastShow.com to sign up for the podcast. Go to AshCastTV to subscribe. Share this. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Baby, I got your money.